Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Well, I have a box. I just wonder, inside this box, what if I told you in here was something way more powerful than any Ferrari? What if I told you that inside of here there was something way more loving than anything that you've ever experienced before? Way more important or significant? Like, what if in here was the answer to life's mysteries? Anyone like it? Like, just think about this for a moment. What if I told you that I had the answer to life? That I knew all mysteries? That I had access to the most powerful and significant person on the planet? And it was wrapped up in something like a box. Would you want it? I know you would because you're here. I want you to see the significance of what we're doing right now. We are accessing the most powerful being in the planet, in the universe. You think about this. We are connecting with the most loving being ever. More loving than anything you'll find on Instagram. We are connecting with somebody who loves each of us dearly, has great power, has great significance. And what if we could open up our box, our lives, and receive that? I mean, what we're about to unpack is so significant. It's Jesus. Now, you can't really put Jesus in a box. People try. They tried. Do you know what happened? He escaped. You can't put Jesus in a box. You can't lock him down, seal him down. But I tell you, we can talk to him. We can unpack him. We can create space for him. We can open that box. I tell you, if you want to have something that makes it, running off my words, if you want this to have full effect in your life, we have to create space. If you want something that's in a box, say it's a gift, there's no point in having a gift here. You have to open the gift. This morning, let's open this gift. Let's create space for this gift. And I bet things will change in your world. This whole year is about rediscovering Jesus. In other words, what would it be like if Jesus lived my life? What would I be like if I lived my life the way that Jesus would live my life? I'm not talking about living Jesus' life, because Jesus lived a long time ago in a very different culture. But what would it be like if Jesus lived my life? How would I change? What would I do? What would I think about? How would I be? I got some things this morning. Let me pray. Jesus, I'm praying that what's on my heart would leap off these pages, these thoughts. Jesus, that the significance of you would capture us, Lord. It would change us. It would mold us. It would excite us and it would rest us. Holy Spirit, come. Let's open the Word. Mark 2, 1-17. I'm just picking on Mark's Gospel. I know there's lots of different Gospels, and I'm picking on two stories. And I want you to see some things this morning that maybe you've never seen before out of Mark's Gospel. This story is in all three, what we call synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in various places. But I've picked on Mark for a few reasons. Let's go, Mark 2, verse 1. When he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home, that Jesus had gone back up to the north, back to where his hometown is, and he's found the space, and it got around pretty quick. Hey, Jesus is back in town. Hey, Jesus is home, probably with his family. Doesn't actually say. And many were gathered together, so there was no more room. Got that? Not even at the door. So they're all crowding. Maybe it was around the back door kitchen where Mum was. Maybe they'd found a space, but let's just imagine it's Jesus' home, you know, his parents' home, the family home, and everybody's gathering around the door. People coming from all over. Jesus, he's the guy who was healing. Jesus, he's the guy who teaches. And suddenly, Capernaum's alive at Jesus' door. And so what does Jesus do? He teaches them. He said, there's no more room. They'd crowded Jesus out. They'd put him in a box. Got this? They'd pushed him. And so what does he do to create space? He starts teaching them. He starts unpacking life to them. And he was preaching the word of God to them, and they came. Verse 3, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Now, a paralytic is someone who's lame from birth, carried on a mat by four men. And you've probably heard this story. It's a great story. But because there's such a crowd, there's no room inside out. There's people everywhere. It's chaos. They're trying to hear Jesus. And these guys, like, you know, paramedics of the day. excuse me. And inside the house is so crowded. They can't get anywhere near. And they're frustrated because they know that Jesus has the answer. Jesus is more powerful than anything they've ever known. So they go, right. Somehow they do this. I don't know how they do it. But because they could not get near because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. I don't know how they do it, but they get a ladder, they get something, they winch this guy up. You know, you try and do this on a stretcher. Here's a guy who can't walk. I don't know if they got ropes or how they're doing, but somehow they get him up on a roof. They go, I know, let's cut a hole in the roof right above where Jesus is. That's a good idea. So you can just imagine, saw, you know, like on the cartoons. Where they're cutting it. Anyway, that's where mine goes. You hear this saw coming down. You know, the whole roof comes down. And somehow, I mean, there would have been dust. I mean, we're cooking, you know, all kinds of materials. And then out of all the dust, maybe I'm exaggerating, but the smoke screen, you know, the music dies down. Here's this guy on a stretcher. And the four guys above him, they're wheeling down like fishing wheels. And they just look at each other and go, high five. And so what does Jesus do? It's like he was just in the middle of preaching, thank you very much. And these audacious, bold men have just dropped this guy in front of Jesus. In verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith. Excuse me? Jesus saw their faith. That's curious, isn't it? Like, I bet he saw a whole lot more just then. You know, dust and stuff. And then what does he notice? He notices their faith. He goes, there's something going on here. They really believe in this. And then he said to the paralytic, verse 5, son, your sins are forgiven. Excuse me? You mean me and I've just been winched up this roof and over there and lowered down and in the midst of all these people, made a fool of myself, and you say, my sins have been forgiven? Like, I've come for the legs, thank you, Jesus. I've come because I can't walk. But can you see here that Jesus is dealing with the main thing? The main problem, the main concern, the main barrier between people and God is not that they can't walk. It's something on the inside. Now, some of the scribes were sitting there, the religious crowd, the leaders, the good church folk. And some of the scribes are saying, why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? It's not God. He's calling for God. They're not saying it, but they're whispering in the head. And Jesus knew their thoughts. He says, why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise up, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home. What did he do? Verse 12. He rose immediately, picked up his bed and went out before them, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. An absolute miracle. A miracle of faith, a miracle of transformation, a miracle of bodily healing. And this guy, thank you very much, he walks out praising God, like we were starting to praise God this morning. Thank you, Bev, that was awesome. People down the front. Like, imagine this guy just going, yeah, nice one, Jesus. And off he goes. No, he would have been absolutely ecstatic. He's got his life back. He's got his legs back. He can go. I want you to see what happened there. Somebody created space for Jesus. Somebody, his friends, created space for the supernatural power of God. They let Jesus out of that box because they created space for him. Because they weren't content just to put up, oh, well, can't get in, didn't get the tickets early enough. I suppose we'll go home. No, their faith inside us says, no, if we get this guy to Jesus, guess what's going to happen? He's going to be healed. And that's why Jesus saw their faith. That's why Jesus healed him, because of their faith. There's two stories in this passage. Park that one for a moment. Somebody created space for Jesus, for men. But then it goes on, and he went out again. This is verse 13 of Mark 2. He went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. So usual pattern with Jesus, particularly up at Capernaum. Anywhere he goes, it's got the crowds, they follow him because they can see that Jesus has something special in his life. They want his teaching. They want his healing. And so everywhere he goes, the multitudes are coming. They're following him. But this time, Jesus is not stopping to heal people. He's just walking past a guy called Levi, sitting at a tax booth. Let me explain that. Back in those days, the Romans were in charge of Israel, and they'd recruited some of the locals to work in the tax office. And so they had to pay taxes back to the Roman authorities. And so here it is, the local Jewish guys are taxing each other. And you can imagine how that would have gone down. They say sinners and tax collectors, a lot in the scriptures. Like, this guy is betraying their country in so many people's eyes. Here's a guy who should have been serving. He's probably a Levite, given his name Levi. We don't really know. But he's certainly a Jew. And he's working for the enemy. He's working for the Romans. And he's channeling and funneling some money from the Jewish to the Roman council. And usually at the same time, there's a bit going on the side too. I'll have an extra 10% of that, thank you. And that was how they got paid. Just put that in my pocket, thank you very much. So he wasn't a popular boy. But did that stop Jesus? He's just walking by and says, hey, Levi, follow me. Now that word follow, it actually talks about, the word means come on a journey with me. Join me on my journey down a road is really what it's saying. So he says, hey, Levi, come join me. Join me on a journey down the road and you will see what happens. And this is exactly the call of God in our life, isn't it? We'll get to that in a minute. Follow me. And he arose and followed him. Do you know what he did next? He threw a party. Do you know why? The Bible doesn't say. But when people start following Jesus, their heart is transformed. It's like the paralytic. His sins were forgiven. Everything's clean. And now he can live freely again. I reckon that happened to Levi as well. Like, he had this sense of forgiveness. Jesus doesn't make a big deal at all about him working for the enemy. Just follow me. In the process, he would have worked out that Jesus loved him dearly and that he didn't have to worry about what his occupation was. He left that all behind. And then in love and in gratitude, he throws this party. And who does he invite? All his tax collector mates. You can just imagine, hey, come and meet a man who just doesn't care what I do. He really loves me. Come and let's just throw this party. And that's what he does. Luke's gospel talks about that he threw the party. This Mark's gospel doesn't. It's the same story. But as he reclined in verse 15 at the table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners. Sinners just means people who've missed the mark. They just haven't, it's an archery term. You just didn't quite, your arrow's fallen short. That's what it really means. You haven't met the target that you're supposed to in life. Anyone like that? I reckon most of us are like that. We've misfired somewhere, you know. Something's just gone. But Jesus doesn't worry about that. It's like, so all these tax collectors and people who haven't quite made it in the religious life are there with Jesus. And what is Jesus doing? Eating and drinking. Verse 16, the scribes of the Pharisees, the ruling religious police, when they saw that he was eating with the sinners and the tax collectors, said to his disciples, why does he eat? Why is he doing that? Doesn't he know? Doesn't he know where he was last night? Doesn't he know what he's thinking about right now? Doesn't he know who he works for? Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I came not to call the righteous but sinners. Oh, I love Jesus' heart. Don't we get that so wrong in life? Do we just look for the people who've got it together and ignore the people who haven't? Church has been guilty of that so long over the years. But actually, Jesus has come to help those who haven't got it together, to pull them out of where they're at, set them in a good space. Do you know what Jesus does with Levi? He creates space for Jesus. Levi allows Jesus into his world. And look what happens. His life is transformed. He's inviting his mates to hear about Jesus. And guess what? He wrote a book. Do you know what the book's called? Matthew. This is Matthew. This is Matthew's story. Matthew, the book that we're reading all year. He wrote this. They say that only Matthew's gospel accounts all the financial figures. So here's Matthew. So I'm reading this story and thinking, we've got to create space for Jesus. What would happen if we created space for Jesus, both in our lives of our friends and in our own world? Here's two thoughts on that. The first one, let's just think about Levi, or Matthew is his other name. We've got to create space in our own lives for Jesus. That's what Levi did. He simply allowed Jesus into his world. Here's two really simple things that you can do to create spaces for Jesus in your own life, just like Levi did. The word abide is a beautiful word. It's not a commonly used word in our culture. You see it a lot in John's writings, that abide, it means to remain or join to. It means to have that beautiful connection with, a continual connection with Jesus. I know this might sound weird, but just imagine that if you've got the greatest gift inside of you, but we never consider it, huh? right? Just imagine, you know, me lying in bed. Now, don't imagine that. But just anytime, anywhere, whether you're, I'm talking about those times when your mind is a bit blank, you know, when you're drifting off to sleep or in the shower or just driving a car or something. Do you know that you can connect to Jesus right then, anytime? That's what it means to abide. It just means have a connection with Jesus right there. Just go, hey, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hey, have you got anything to say, Jesus? What could I be thinking about, Jesus? Oh, I'm sorry about that thought, Jesus. Forgive me. Hey, Jesus, could you help me with? Like, wouldn't it be awesome just to have little short prayers lined up? Just in those moments when the world settles down and you find yourself with a minute, don't still your mind with what's on Facebook next. Just go. Abide. Hey. And remember who Jesus is. It's like that box. It's like I could just open that box right now and experience Jesus' love. Right now. I'm just in the shower and I'm getting ready, but I could just open that box and receive his love. I'm driving my car and I could tune on the radio and I could just get the download of all the floods that are going on right now. God bless all those people. And I could just get consumed with the day, but I could just open that box and he might just speak to me. He might just talk to me. You see, that's what Matthew did. He said, I'll follow you. I'll walk the journey. I'll walk the road with you. And he starts listening to Jesus, and Jesus kind of shaping his world and helping him leave things behind and what to pick up. You can abide with Jesus. And then you can act. It's another great way just to create space for Jesus. Sometimes our actions and the things that we could do create space for Jesus. What's he calling you to do right now? You know, is there a step of faith? Is there something that you think, if I just talk to that person, I would make space for Jesus. If I just stopped thinking those thoughts, I reckon I'd create space for Jesus. If I sorted my anger issues out, I reckon I'd create space for Jesus. You know, let actions out of what he's asking you to do. All flows from just creating space moment by moment for Jesus. I reckon it'll change your world. You know, this year personally, I've been really trying to do that. As a male, I get fairly single tasked, right? You know, the blokes like that. I reckon if anyone can multitask, it's the ladies. I'm not sure that the men are so great at this. If anyone is so great at this, I'm not sure that anybody is really. But I get focused. I get very focused. And so I have my time with Jesus in the morning, which I love and I do. And then, what's next, you know? And I kind of attack my day. All that tasks and things and then tick things off. You know, that's my kind of world. But this year God really challenged me. It's just pull back on the tasks a bit. Just walk with me. Learn my rhythms. Learn my grace. Learn my rest. And I tell you, it's changed me. Learning how to just abide in him. Moment by moment. Sure, I still get lost in a bit of software or, you know, whatever I'm doing in the day. But it's like I pull out of it and go, oh, thank you, Jesus. And I just, it's the word of my tongue. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And suddenly I'm reconnected. I've opened that box. The supernatural power of Jesus can just come back into me. He speaks to me. He leads me. He corrects me. You know, but it's good. It's really good. So create space for Jesus in your world, just like Levi did. And secondly, create space in the lives of others. That's what the four friends did. They created space not for themselves, but for their paralytic mate. They did it. It says they took the risk. They took him up to the roof. They lowered him down, not for their own, because they love this fellow. So in their humble action, they have created space for Jesus for somebody else. It wasn't about them. Don't you love that? And it got me thinking, how could we create space in other people's lives for Jesus to move in? Here's three things that could help you. Pray for them. I tell you, just prayer works. You just start praying for people. And it doesn't have to be complex prayers. Just as you go along your day, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for my brother. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Lord God, move on to him. Help him. Bring him an awareness of your presence. That creates space for Jesus in other people's lives. What a great experiment. I've started doing this. I'm in a lot of Zoom meetings, right? And you can stare at the screen or you can stare at your email or something else. I just started praying for people. They can't see that I'm praying for them. You know, there's 10 people in a meeting. Thank you, Jesus. God, let them be aware of your presence. Thank you, Jesus. You could be in a train or a bus or a school. Whatever you're into, whatever you're in the day, just start firing little prayers. Thank you, Jesus. Bless this person. Bless this. Name them. Bless them. Bless them. I bet Jesus becomes real in their lives. Why don't you have a go? Creating space for Jesus. Number one is to pray. Number two is to converse. Have a conversation about Jesus. And everyone goes, and the introverts in the room go. I tell you, do you know stats, according to stats, McCrindle Research, 55% of people in Australia are happy to have a conversation about God. More than half. That's research. Good research. McCrindle, look him up. 55%. So the odds are that when you start talking about God, over half will go, okay. That's not a bad average, is it? 45% might go, shut up. It's the worst they can do in this country, really. Block you on Facebook. Converse. But have your lines ready. What are you going to say? This is why I love this life. Did you know that you're loved by the creator of the universe? Oh, I don't believe it. Doesn't matter. You are loved by the creator of the universe. Did you know that? You know that you matter to God? Your life counts. What about practicing a couple little lines like that? You know that he really loves you? You know he really cares about what's going on in your world, right? Would you like me to pray for you? You've got to be ready. I'm hopeless at this. I have those conversations after the event, right? Anyone else? Oh, there was my opportunity. Oh, next time. Oh, God, next time. Yeah. So it's practice. It's practice. And last thing, bring your friends to Jesus. Pick them up. What about Easter? We're getting these cards, these little invitation cards, little photo prints. You can go around your neighborhood and the least you can do is letterbox drop your street. Just put this little card, come to Easter, welcome. Good Friday, Easter Sunday. We'll just have a conversation. Hey, we've got this great church. We'll talk about Jesus. This could just change your world. Would you like to come? That's what they did. You see, they got their paralytic, the guy who couldn't move, the guy who was unable to move. They picked him up. The guy who was unable became healed. That's a gospel salvation story right there. He was forgiven and healed. So pray for people, converse with people, get your lines ready, and bring your friends to Jesus. Pick him up. Hey, I'll pick you up. Daddy's going to create space for people. Lord Jesus, let's pray. Let's pray. I want you to just, let's get this band up here. Just going to take a couple of moments to pray. Holy Spirit, I want you to close your eyes for a moment and think about the opportunities, the possibilities, the potential of letting Jesus out of the box in your world. Can you imagine? Read story after story after story of Jesus' miraculous healing, his incredible teaching, his beautiful love for people. That same Jesus is here right now. Firstly, you're here this morning and you need Jesus in your life. You've read some stories, you've heard some things, and you're going, I need this for me. You're like Levi this morning. And this morning Jesus is saying, follow me. And you've held off, but this morning you just feel like jumping out of your chair and following Jesus and leaving your past behind. Maybe like Levi, you've got a reputation, you've got past, you've got things that maybe you're even ashamed of, but today it matters no more because Jesus says, follow me. Join me on my road of love and life and liberty, my road of freedom. I reckon there's people in the room right now who need to jump out of their seat. Why don't you do that? Just jump out here and come. Jesus says, come follow me. Be bold. Jump up and even just come and stand here with me. Say, I want to follow Jesus just like Levi. It's going to change your world. It changed Matthew's world. Became one of the greatest disciples and wrote the book of Matthew. Anyone? Anyone bold enough just to go, that's me. I want to follow Jesus, and there's no messing around. I'm all in. Anyone? Jesus, come. Now start thinking about your friends to create space for them. Think of the people you're going to pray for. Think of the people you're going to invite. Think of the people that you want to share this hope that we have. You're going to let Jesus out of the box in your world. There's people in your world who don't even know that you love Jesus. You're going to find out. Not in a weird way and not in a judgmental way, but just because you start sharing the blessing of Jesus in their life. Just because you start praying with them. And just because you start inviting them and picking them up. Right now, just ask the Holy Spirit, show me some people in my world who I can create space for. Names, faces are going to come right now. Make a commitment before the Lord right now. I want to pray for these people. I'm going to make it happen. Share with my mouth my words. See them like the paralytic. Sins forgiven. Past wiped away. And you're going to find people physically healed. Whole, healed of emotional issues. Healed with relational dysfunction. Healed of physical illnesses. Healed financially. Healed with a hope and a promise of the future. Healed in every way. Our world needs healing. I tell you, our world's a mess. But Jesus is the only one who can wipe the past free, clean, sorted, and deal with the damage of the past. He can make all things new. You got some friends who need all things new in their world. You got some friends who need to be set free from themselves, their addictions, their past, things that other people have done to them. You're going to be free. You're going to be free. Holy Spirit, pray for each person. Bless them. Bless them. Lord, I'm praying for our church. Thank you. Stir us. Stir us to let Jesus out of the box in our world and in the lives of others.
Thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.